So I managed to connect by Skype with Simon earlier in the week, and I think this is your first time to Scotland, apart from Gretna Green.
That's right, yeah.
So if you need any interpreter, I'm sure we can get someone to come.
We're doing okay.
It's great to have you here. So I'm going to ask you a few questions, as you know, we've already prepared a wee bit. So can you first of all tell me where you each grew up, and you know, a wee bit about your faith journeys? So choose who goes first.
Whatever you I can go first.
Go for it.
You can probably tell from my accent that I'm not from the UK. I grew up in Minnesota, in the north of the United States. And I guess about my faith, I grew up in a Christian home, and my parents had a lot of influence on discipling myself and my siblings, but I guess also I went to a really strong community church like this one. Mm-hmm. There was a number of young adults that discipled me as a youth, and some in particular that really invested in me, and I think mm-hmm. from their example and their witness, I came to know the Lord gradually.
Great, yeah. Thank you.
Well, I'm from sunny Croydon, which isn't as beautiful as Inverness here. My story is just kind of a simple one in many ways. I have a Christian family, Christian mum and dad, and they take me to church every week. And I went to a Christian school, same school as Jenny with the twins as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And at university, I probably lost sight of God quite a bit, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. And then I came back home after that, and I had a dream of running around the church like when I was a kid. And I thought, oh, I wonder what that is. So mm-hmm. I went back to church, and then from there, just some brilliant people mentored me and just really helped me understand faith in a new way.
Mm. Great, thank you. So I think I could be wrong, but I think you've been in Nepal about 6 years now, is that right?
Yes.
And can
seven,
you,
maybe.
About seven, okay. Can you tell us a wee bit about life before Nepal, you know, what you were doing before you got there? So.
Yes, I was talking to a few people beforehand, but for me, there wasn't much before Nepal. I went for the first time when I was 15 on a short-term trip, and then I went again when I was 21 with YWAM, and I did a year in Nepal, living at a Nepali YWAM base. And then I went again a year later, 2 years later, when I was doing an internship with Wycliffe Bible Translators. And I met Simon at that point, and we started dating. And so then I had to go back to the States to finish my degree. Uh-huh. But we wanted to carry on dating, so Simon found a job at the international school that I applied for, and then moved to Nepal. And yeah, so
rest
other than childhood,
history.
I don't have much before.
Okay, yeah, same.
And my story is more that I came back from university, and then I got a job in a Christian school in my hometown. I worked there for 3 or 4 years, and again, I was just really inspired by some of the people working there, just the way they lived out their faith, and it just really encouraged me. And just from there, I thought I was just going to, you know, do something short term. So I applied to BMS for a 6-month program in Kathmandu, mm-hmm. and 7 years later, I'm still there.
So. Very good. Excellent. I've been doing a bit of internet trolling. It's amazing.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, hang on. I've got the thing here.
Oh, dear.
What have we done? Oh, yeah.
So this is the romantic bit. So so you met there and dated and then got married there. Is that what this shows? Yeah.
Yeah, this is me riding a rickshaw with Wendy in the back there.
Very good.
In Nepal, it's typical to sort of have a procession to go and pick up the bride and bring her back to the father's house. So I rented this rickshaw, and we had all our friends from church and school, and we danced through the street with a band and crashed the thing and picked Wendy up and took her back to the school where we worked, and we got married there.
Nice, Nice. Actually, I have another one I found.
Okay.
So of course you.
How did you find that?
Is that online?
Took a bit of difficulty to paste it in, but of course you need to be a superhero. Is that right? To be a missionary?
I got.
Didn't know this question was.
I got given this T-shirt by we trained at the BMS training college for a few months in 2014, and they were having a party for the action team, which is the younger people that go out on mission, and I got given this T-shirt. Normally, I only wear it in bed. But
okay.
This is where we live now, by the way. So
okay.
Yeah, this is from
our town in the background.
Great. So they're going to tell us a bit more later about the work. But can you just tell us, just briefly, how you've seen God at work in your lives recently? Anything you want to share?
Go ahead.
I think one thing that I thought it'd be okay to share is that before we went out to Nepal this second time in 2015, we had a pretty late miscarriage.
Oh.
And then we struggled to get pregnant for 2 years. And this was, obviously we're pregnant now. You can see where the story's going. But it was something that was quite hard for us. And then a few months ago, we thought, instead of struggling on our own, we'd like to share this and have people pray with us. And we just moved to this town here, and in the hospital, it's a mission hospital, there's a small group that meets every week or every night, mm-hmm. and a small group of Nepali people, and we shared and said, would you pray with us? And there's this one lady called Santu Didi, and you could just hear her praying in Nepali out loud for your fertility every week. And about a month later, this happened.
Lovely, great. Yeah.
So that's incredible.
Yeah,
you said I could share that. Mm.
Anything else, Wendy?
I was going to share it, yeah. Mm. Another thing that was a big kind of stress for us over the course of moving to the village was trying to find housing. Because, it's not exactly an estate agent that you can visit or property listings or anything like that. So we would walk around the village and just ask people if they had any space to rent. And it wasn't very easy to find. It was months of every evening walking around. And so again, we started praying about it a little more seriously. And I think there was a night when we kind of surrendered our list of things we were looking for to God and said, whatever you have for us, then we'll live there. And the next day we were on our evening walk and this woman was coming down the path carrying water. And we recognized her from a school, because she was a teacher in one of the schools. And she said, I heard you were looking for a place. I have a place that might be vacant in a few months if you want to come peek.
Mm.
And so we followed her back to her house, and she had a whole flat, which was something we hadn't seen in the village at all. It was always just like a concrete room or, a very communal kind of living situation. So we agreed to move in kind of without much thought, and praise the Lord for that. But yeah,
great.
And that's an ongoing kind of prayer request as well, because the landlord and his wife, they're quite well known in the community as strong Hindu leaders.
Okay.
His father was the priest, and so we're kind of living in the Hindu priest's house. There's a temple on our roof.
Wow.
And just that we can be a light from that place in the community, and
sure.
Would love to see our landlord also come to know Christ.
Well, thank you. You guys can take a seat again. Thank you so much.
You.
And we'll get you up in a little bit. Thank you. So we're going to hear a wee bit more in a few minutes. But let's continue our worship by singing two more songs now. And How Deep the Father's Love for Us, followed by Focus My Eyes on You, O Lord.
How deep the Father's love for us.